Good evening, everyone. So glad that you're here. If I happen through the course of the evening look a little wobbly, it's because I'm not injured or anything, but I'm a little sore. So the stools, just in case. My family loves the summer. We love being outdoors. We're hardly ever inside unless we have to be. So our evening routine is to get supper eaten and the dishes put away as quickly as we can so we can get out for our evening walk. We always do the same route. Except it's not really a walk anymore. The kids ride their bicycles, and they ride them really fast, and Nicole and I walk, and the deal is they can ride to the next block and wait for us, which they're pretty good about doing. So we do our whole route, and then we come back to the last block. So they're waiting at the last block, and the boys especially will always look at me and say, "Daddy, are you ready?" They're expecting a race. So last night was a big, big moment in our family. Because last night was the first night that I've been beaten. I've always, until this time, been able to race them down, them on their bikes, me on foot. I honestly gave it all I had, so I'm feeling it today. If they were here, their faces would still be beaming and tell you, we beat him, and we made him sore. They would be so proud to be able to tell you that. So there we go. But at the same time, you know, I couldn't be prouder. I couldn't be prouder to see my kids growing. You know, there's some sadness about kids growing up and not staying little bitty babies their whole lives. But kids are supposed to grow up. That's how it goes. And to be the dad, to get to see the kids and their faces just beam and say, "We beat Daddy." It's a great, great thing. Growing is a way of life. And so we're continuing on our five-week series, Radical Christianity, exploring the five core values of our DNA here at Hope. And this week we're exploring number four, following Jesus is a growing experience. And I want to get right down to it, as basic as possible. If you're a note taker, this is a note-takey kind of sermon. We're going to do some bullet points, some myth-busting, the whole bit, but plain and simple, this is what growing as a Christian is. This is what following Jesus and walking like Jesus is. Ready? Discovering more and more all that Jesus has done for you. That is growing as a Christian. As you explore, as you are further consumed, as you are drawn into the very heart of God and discover more and more each day what Jesus has done for you, all that he has poured out for you, all that he has given for you to soak up, to enjoy, to be filled up and overflowing with, then your life is turned inside out. You'll say like David the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything else. I have no want." To be so full of God, to know that you are so good, you are set, you are golden with all that Jesus has done for you, This is the beauty of being a follower of Jesus. You know that no matter the circumstance of your life, no matter how bright, no matter how dark, no matter how pleasant or tragic your life may be, Jesus has you in his grip and nothing can break that grip on you. When your life is full like this, you don't have to worry about yourself anymore. Jesus turns you inside out and does what Jesus himself does, become a servant to the world. So like the scripture verse said to you tonight, Jesus says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." As we discover more and more all that Jesus has done for us, Jesus turns our life inside out so that we are filled with Jesus' love. We begin to love what Jesus loves, which is this broken world that he created and came to redeem. And we live like Jesus lived and love as he did. This is the whole of growing as a Christian. But I want to get into some myth busting. You know the show Mythbusters? Yeah? One person. All right, good. Mythbusters, we have the picture of the Mythbusters up there. I love the Mythbusters. I don't get to watch them too often. I have to go to mom and dad's house. They've got the Dish Network or whatever that gets the channel. Is it Discovery maybe? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I love the Mythbusters, especially the episodes that have to do with duct tape and fire. I don't have any duct tape. Do you have a little fire? That's it though. No explosions, so that's kind of a bummer. And we probably couldn't be doing that in here anyway. But we're going to do some myth busting on what it means to be growing as a Christian. So myth number one, that growing as a Christian is something just for the super religious. For a few Christians, but not all, and probably not all the rest of us. I don't know what it is about human nature. I don't know what it is, but throughout human history, and it doesn't even have to be about religion, it doesn't have to be about spirituality, it can be about anything. There's something inside of us that puts humans into two classes. The very few, the superstars, the celebrities, the wonder workers in our midst, and then all the rest of us. Life is great for the superstars. Good for them. Glad they can do it. Yeah, but that's not for all the rest of us. Good for them that they can do it. We'll admire from a distance. We'll let them inspire us as we observe their stories, whatever. But we know that whatever that super life is, it's just not going to be for us. We aren't going to have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week that we can do all kinds of super religious things. We don't have millions and millions of dollars that we can give away or go on trips or this or that. We couldn't do this, we couldn't do that, because that's what the super Christians do. I don't have all the time in the world to be in prayer. I don't have all the time in the world to study. So I guess I just won't worry about it. We'll let the super Christians do it. Now, the bummer about that is we let the super be someone else's. So we content ourselves with, well, anything other than super. But then there's something we kind of like about that, too, because then we feel like, well, we're off the hook. We'll leave the super stuff to the super people, and we'll just go about doing whatever we want to do, however we want to do it, not really have too great of expectations for ourselves. You know, you don't like how things are going, lower your expectations kind of life. It works. It works for a lot of people doing religion. Works for a lot of people doing spirituality. Works for a lot of Christians. Just to say, that super stuff is for the super Christians. I'll let them have it. So then what does the rest of our faith look like? Well, we come to church regularly. I give a little bit here when I can. I make sure the kids are in Sunday school or KQ. What else do you want? What else is required? Isn't Christianity all about grace and love and fluff and stuff anyway? Well, we treat our Christianity, we treat our spiritual journey with God not much different than we treat a vending machine. You know, nothing in a vending machine costs very much. You know, a couple quarters. We hit whatever spiritual goodie we want. Out pops whatever it is. And whatever it is certainly isn't going to be very nutritious or have much value for us. It tastes good going down, but that's about it. And maybe we settle ourselves with a vending machine kind of faith and a vending machine kind of God, which works for us for a long time, doesn't require much of us, gives us our little goodies that we need along the way to make us feel good or make us feel like we're being spiritual or religious. So the problem of this is, you know, when we arrive someday at the pearly gates, we've got our couple little coins with us, and St. Peter's there to welcome us in with open arms, and we're looking for the coin slot. Where's the coin slot, Jesus? I can just put my little coins in, get my spiritual goodies, my heavenly goodies. Isn't that what this heaven thing is all about? Except the Jesus that meets us is saying things like, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, and those who follow me, I will make to follow me and do like I do and love like I do. But what about the coins and the soda pop kind of faith? The Christian life is about growing. And it's not about coins. And it's not about a vending machine. And it's certainly not about little spiritual goodies. But it is growing more deeply in love with this Jesus who is creator of the whole universe, who comes to this earth in flesh like ours and gives his flesh away so that our lives might be saved, so that our lives might look like his. Myth number two, Christian growth is something we can outgrow. We do enough work, we can graduate. We do a lot of work, we can even retire from it. Will there be a point where we get good enough, right? Right? The trouble with thinking that Christianity is something we outgrow or something we achieve, and there's a badge we get or a merit award we can pin on and think, whew, that was a lot of work, but now I'm done with that. Put the little award on the shelf for everybody to see. Let me tell you the stories about way back when. My life doesn't look like anything like that now, but, couch is pretty comfy. The beach is nice. I've got the tassel on my hat. That counts for something, right? Except how strange is it to treat a relationship like that? What would a friendship or what would a marriage be if we treated it like something we could graduate from or retire from? Well, hey, honey. Well, I'm always curious. Are you honeys or sweethearts out there? Who's a honey? Who's a sweetheart? Who's something else? Hey, honey. I was reading lately, the researchers out there say that, if a couple gets to 7 years of being married, that's really the critical point. 7 years. If a couple can get to 7 years of marriage, they've got a really high chance of making it forever. And we're on, what is it, year eight or nine? I don't really remember, year eight or nine? So I was thinking, maybe the next time you're going shopping, you don't need to ask me to come along. And maybe tomorrow when you come home from work, I won't have to ask you how your day was and how you felt about it. Well, that sounds pretty good. I was thinking that I could use some free time on Saturday night too. What would a relationship or a marriage or a friendship look like if we thought we could graduate? How tragic it is when we think we can be together in relationship and there comes a point when we can stop giving to each other or receiving or spending time together or growing with each other. Of course, relationships don't work like that, although we've all been in relationships that end up like that or carry on like that, and how tragic they all are. None of us are free from the damage of treating relationships like that. Or how tragic it would be if we said to ourselves, I feel pretty good in my walk with Jesus. I've learned a lot along the way. I've prayed a lot. I've studied a lot. But I really don't need more Jesus in my life. I don't need more love. I don't need more joy. I don't need more peace. I don't need more guidance. I don't need more assurance. I don't need more faith. I don't need more hope. I'm pretty good. I think I got this all wrapped up. What a sad life of faith that would be. Myth number three. Christian, or growing as a Christian, is something we can do alone or on our own power. Any real estate agents out there? All right, we got one. The three eternal truths of real estate are location, number one. Location, location, right. Location, location, location. Christianity is very similar, except relationship, relationship, relationship. How can you be in a growing relationship with Jesus without, Jesus? You can't do this by yourself. You can't do it without the church, one of the places Jesus promises to show up. You can't have Jesus without the church. Jesus doesn't give us that option. Now, some days that feels unfortunate, but here we are. Jesus also gives us the strength to bear with one another in our strengths and in our weaknesses. And also, we can't have Jesus without the world that he came to save and came to love. We cannot be growing as Christians without being turned outward toward this world that Jesus gave his life to redeem and to save and to bring again into relationship with him. But that's kind of preview for next week, our week number five of this series, so we'll move on from there. Myth number four. Growing as a Christian is a list of tasks to strive after, things to accomplish, boxes to check off. But this is a tricky one. This is a tricky one. Let me show you. Answer this for me. Does a good growing Christian worship regularly? Well, of course they do, right? That's not a trick question. A good growing Christian worships regularly. Does a good growing Christian engage in the Bible somehow? Bible study or quiet time alone with the Bible? Yes, of course they do. Does a good growing Christian pray regularly? Alone and in a group and in all kinds of settings? All day long? Of course they do. Does a good growing Christian give a percentage of their income? Yes, absolutely. Does a good growing Christian serve? Does a good growing Christian go on mission trips or whatever it is? By the way, there's still backpacks on the table. Do good growing Christians take backpacks on their way out? Of course they do. Can a person do all of these things? Do them well? Do them regularly? Do them faithfully and still miss the point completely? Absolutely. A person can do all of the right Christian things really, really well, with lots of energy, with lots of commitment, with lots of faithfulness, and still miss the point completely. If we treat our Christian life, our Christian growth, like things to do, a list to accomplish, boxes to check off, we have missed the point altogether. Paul says it most clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, called the love chapter. Paul says, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and even of angels, but did not love others, I'd be only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understood all of God's deepest secrets and possessed knowledge, if I had faith that could move mountains, but did not love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about these things, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. If we don't have love, if our Christian life is just about boxes, we've missed the point. If we're not growing more deeply in the experience of Jesus' love in our lives, people will see us worshiping regularly, studying the Bible, serving like crazy, but people can see if that's done in love or not. People don't need you to be checking off boxes, earning merit badges. People need love. People need to see hope within you. People need to see faith within you. Nicole and I have learned this. We've learned this past year. If you don't know, my wife Nicole has been going through treatment for breast cancer over the last year and a half. Everything is really good. She's cancer-free. But she has, within the last week and a half, just finished all the injections that she's been getting. She has surgery on Monday. We really were so thankful for your prayers and your support. But you know, when a person and a family is going through something like this, we can't do Christian things. We scaled way back on all of the things we do. We aren't with people as much. We didn't worship as often as we did. We weren't serving like we normally would. We felt awful about that. We felt we weren't with people like we would have been otherwise, like we'd normally be, either in ways of serving or ways of fellowship or however it was. But God showed us, you don't have to do churchy things to be experiencing the love of Jesus Christ. We knew that you're praying for us. We'd get letters, we'd get cards, we'd get emails, we'd get messages just saying, we're praying for you. Know it's a hard week. Thinking about you, praying for you. We'd get, you know, meals on the doorstep, cakes, all kinds of wonderful things for the kids. You know, the kids actually were pretty disappointed this spring when people stopped coming over to take them to McDonald's all the time. Can a person not be doing very many churchy things or Christian things at all and still be filled with the love of Jesus, experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit and being turned outward to show the world what the risen Jesus means? Absolutely. This thing of growing as a Christian is nothing more than discovering more in every day all that Jesus has done for you. Myth number 5. Christian growth is driven by stress, guilt, and shame. What is it about us humans that doesn't quite feel right if we don't feel upset about ourselves? What is it about us humans that doesn't feel like we're trying hard enough if we don't feel guilty about all the ways that we fail? We don't live up. We like to write long lists for ourselves and start checking them off. But we make that list just long enough, we set the bar just high enough that we'll never ever be able to really jump over it. We think we might if we keep trying. What is this sickness within us that needs to think that it can't be right if we aren't experiencing some kind of stress or pressure or guilt or shame about ourselves? What story was it that we ever heard that Jesus, or that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, his only son, that whosoever believes would have eternal life? And now that you've believed that message, you better get to work. You are saved fully by the blood of Jesus, but now you better be worthy of it. When did we ever hear that message? Why do we believe that's the way it has to be? We are saved by grace always and for eternity, not just the moment you first believed, and then you better get to work or else. God fully loved you and sent his only son, but he really wasn't too happy about the way you're living the rest of your life. I'm so sorry if any version of Christianity has ever been that way for you, because that is not the truth and that is not the gospel. These things called fear and anxiety and pressure and guilt and stress, those are only tools of the devil. And if you are feeling those, give those away to Jesus and say, Jesus, take it all, because I need your love, I need your peace, I need your fullness, I need your joy. These words, guilt, fear, shame, have no place in a life with Jesus, whose love is pouring into our lives more fully every day. If those are things that you're experiencing, why are you holding on to them anymore? Let Jesus have them. If there are things in your life that you need to repent about, the only thing that stands between you and Jesus is your unwillingness to give it away. The only thing that Jesus does with your sin is say, give it to me, please, I want to forgive it and take it away forever. What is it about my blood that you don't think is sufficient for you? What is it about my power that you don't think can be for you fully and forever? Growing as a Christian is letting Jesus take those awful, dark, dark things away from you forever. To be filled with his love. The way Paul says it in Galatians chapter 5 is the fruits of the Spirit. Only these things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that mark a growing relationship with Jesus. These are the signs that you're letting God's love into your life and heal you and make you whole. This is the biblical truth. That growing as a follower of Jesus is just discovering more and more every day all that Jesus has done for you. Being so consumed by Jesus that you're giving him your whole life so that you're understanding and feeling and living that you're all good. God has got your whole life in his grasp. So stop worrying about yourself. The power God has in your life so that you can stop worrying about yourself, be turned, your eyes turned away from you, and your eyes turned toward this world that Jesus so desperately wants you to be engaged in, serving and loving like he is serving. We have a hope story tonight about a woman named Betsy. As you listen to her story, hear in her words the way she experienced first faith as duty and service as obligation. And well, I guess I will if I have to. And then hear how God changed her heart, changed her mind, so that giving and serving and loving wasn't something about obligation and have-tos and got-tos. But knowing and experiencing the power and love of Jesus, why would you want to do anything else? Take a look.
When I was a young child, my parents were very involved in our church. We always went to church, always serving, always teaching Sunday school, Bible school, and taking us with. My mom was the Christian education director. My dad has been on the church board. I remember a time when they were doing Bible school down in the Oak Ridge neighborhood, and my mom piled my brother and sister and I in the station wagon, and we went and helped out. If there was ever something happening at church, we just did it. You helped out. So I had really amazing examples of serving parents. I've been to a point where I didn't recognize the love that God had for me and my parents had for me. I didn't go to church. I knew church was important, but it wasn't until the birth of my first child in 2005 that I realized this is really important and something I need to get back into focus. I'm thankful that they had planted the seed and watered it. This fall, I was asked to help volunteer with Freedom for Youth. They were starting a new WizKids program. That's their elementary programming in Johnston. It's reaching out to kids in a neighborhood that are in our school district that are eventually going to be my children's peers. It was an easy thing to say yes to. Little did I know that God was really placing on me that this was about to become a part-time job for me, that I am now the site coordinator. As of April 1st, I became the site coordinator at the Johnston WizKids program. And I think that a lot of people, not just children, a lot of people don't have that church home and they don't know that feeling of love. And so I really am, my goal is to provide that, but I just want it mainly to be a safe place where they can feel love. When Vacation Bible School was coming up, we had invited all of the children from our WizKids program to come, and we had five of them decide to come. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, sure, I'll do it, but it was one of those deals where Hope has vans, they have resources, why do I have to get up early and go get these kids? But I want them to be there, so I'll do it. And I think it was on Thursday, and everybody was good and tired by the end of the week, because it had been a long week, and I came in from helping outside and snuck into the back of the room, and the kids were singing, Lord, I Need You. And one of my fifth grade boys I couldn't find. He had scooted himself up, so he was right behind the four-year-olds, and he's singing, Lord, I Need You, and belting out this song and doing the sign language. And it felt like God had really just opened a window for me, that I just got to stand in the back and take this peek through this window just to see what he was doing, to make me say, you can get up tomorrow and drive them again. And if they want to go next week or whatever they want to do, you need to make that effort because this child is being blessed. But I think by God opening that window, I was the one who received that blessing. Being in this community is a lot easier to say yes because there's so many opportunities for me to serve. And as I continue to say yes, I continue to feel myself grow with my own personal faith. At our WizKids program, it's always a concern, will there be enough food? Will there be enough volunteers? And there's always enough. And I've learned to lean so much more on him, knowing that he will provide. I think it's important to extend the acceptance to other people because Jesus has done it for us and we're all sinners. And so we need to bring everybody in to say we're no different because we sit in here on Sunday mornings. We're loved and you're loved too. Here's where you can feel loved. Serving is giving of myself to somebody else and allowing Christ's light to shine in me.
Yeah, go ahead. Give God praise for that. That was Betsy. She's not a super religious person. She's a person who is willing to have her heart filled with God's love. And she is being amazed by what God is doing. Not because she's doing it or she's going to some heroic efforts, but simply being open to hearing God call. How is it that God is beckoning you to come? To be filled with his love, to have your life turned inside out. To know that you have everything that you need so that more and more you can trust God with your life. So that you can give more of your own life away. So come taste it now, come taste it tonight. Come taste Jesus give his life to you. Not to the super religious, not to the holy of holiests, but to all of us. Just how we need it, for just the way God has made us, and just the way God intends to use us. And watch what will happen.